Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so honored today because I have Jen Chow with me. Jen is a certified professional coach for the LGBTQ community. As the founder of See How Coaching, Jen helps LGBTQ women become better partners so they can create the relationship they desire and deserve. Clients who work with her feel lost in their relationship. They struggle with self-doubt, effective communication, and unclear expectations, which then start to create tension in the relationship. Working together in the one-on-one sessions, clients gain clarity on what they truly desire in a relationship, gain deeper self-awareness, and work through mental and emotional blocks to become their higher selves in order to show up in their partnership more authentically and confidently. Jen's educational achievements include ICF Accreditation Association, Certified Coach, and Certified Energy Leadership, and Index Master Practitioner, Certified Professional Coach, and Certified Encouragement Consultant. Jen was born in Taiwan, grew up in California, and today lives in Japan with her partner, who is a dental hygienist turned English instructor. Thank you so much for being here today, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so honored to have you here today because I think it's such an important topic we're going to be talking about, but I would love to hear about your journey, how you ended up where you are today.
Thank you so much. Well, basically, I think a lot of people get into coaching because of something that they've struggled with in their own life. And so the reason that how I got into, you know, coaching was basically my relationship was chaotic. So my partner who I'm with right now, who the dental hygienist turned English teacher now, our relationship was really, really, was awful from the beginning. There was definitely the love, but just nothing we did was working. And it was just, we were fighting all the time. And then we got to a point where we were both super stressed out. We were both really kind of on edge all the time. And then my partner had a kind of a breakdown. It wasn't just because of me. Partially because of me, but of course there were a lot of other factors, but it made me realize my role in that breakdown and seeing how my inability to take care of myself and my expectations on this relationship was actually putting so much stress on her. So that kind of started this process, this journey of, okay, what can I do to, you know, work on the relationship and not focus on her exactly, you know, focus on myself and then see where I can grow so that, you know, indirectly it helps the relationship grow better. So that was basically what had happened. And then from then on, after I started realizing that it wasn't all about, you know, her, it wasn't about like the relationship, it was about my relationship with myself, yeah. That kind of just made our relationship blossom, because once I got control of my life, and I didn't have to put this pressure on her anymore, it just got much better, and then she got better.
I love that. And how did you discover coaching?
So we were long distance for about 2 years, and the very, very turmoil 2 years. But we would talk all the time on the phone, and we would have awful fights on the phone. And I remember just, you know, endless nights of no sleep. And there was one night that I remember we had just gotten off a fight, and it basically was like, I hung up and I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm tired of talking. Nothing was getting through. We're just gonna not talk. And I tried to go back to sleep. It was like about 3 a.m. in the morning. I had work the next day, but I was tossing and turning. I couldn't go back to bed. Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I go online and I'm like, help. looking on Google for like relationship helps, because I had no idea what I was doing wrong. I don't know how to communicate. What was going on? Yeah. So I discovered Jay Shetty. I don't know why, but he was popping up a lot on all my social media sites. And just that night, I think he was talking about, you know, something like gaining control of your life, or like, is your love life in shambles? And so I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. And so that was kind of my first exposure to coaching.
I love it. And thank you for sharing that. And Jay Shetty is incredible human being, I think.
Yeah.
But how did you know you wanted to coach the LGBT community?
I think it was because after getting into coaching and into the world of coaching, you know, Jay Shetty's amazing. And then, you know, from there, I branched out into finding a lot of different coaches. I love the overall message that they were saying, and it was helping me in a sense. But because I got into coaching, I got onto this journey because of my relationship.
Yeah.
A lot of what they were talking about were, you know, there are some subtle differences between, you know, LGBT relationships and normal, like, heterosexual relationships.
Right.
And so I kept looking, and I was finding, okay, you know, I understand this concept they're saying, but in an LGBT relationship, it doesn't really quite work. And so from there, I discovered, you know, there's not much, we don't have much of a voice in the coaching industry. And so that's what I thought, you know what, all the people who I could talk to about my LGBTness was other LGBT people. And we all kind of struggled with the same situations, and we just have to kind of make do with what we have, with what is, quote unquote, I guess, the normal relationship coaching that they have. Mm-hmm. So it made me realize that, you know what, I want to do this. I'm going to help people, because I know that, you know, my struggles are not the only struggles. And it just kind of became, it was a calling, I guess.
Yes. And I love that you followed that calling too. And what was that deciding factor of to really start to create this as a business?
That's a great question. I think at the beginning, I really didn't think about it as, I didn't really think about making it a private practice or anything. It was just really, I just needed to save my own relationship.
Yeah.
But as I was talking and meeting more people, just doing the practice, they're practicing for my coaching certification, I started to hear more and more people who, like, I was meeting, well, lots of my friends are in the LGBT community. So I was starting to hear a lot of their struggles. And I was like, okay, well, let's do this. Like, I mean, there's definitely a need.
Yeah.
So that's what started it off.
Well, I appreciate you sharing. And you're right. It's not really talked about. Like, I mean, there are a lot of relationship coaches that might mm-hmm. work within the community, but I think just from your experience too, and being able to go through your own process and now being able to help so many other couples as well, I'm curious, as you started to really build upon your practice, what were some of the roadblocks or lessons learned that you had experienced in the beginning? And now you're like, oh, okay, that was a good lesson.
I think it was, for me, I mean, I think it didn't really, because I've never started my own practice or business before. So I think it's kind of a very general roadblock that many people have, is like, how do I market this? What do I do? Like, how do I market it to a public? I think a lot of, like, personally, the roadblock that I had was with myself, with this feeling of, you know, the LGBT community is quite small, and I'm in Japan, and there's not much representation actually here, and I don't really work with Japanese speaking LGBT community yet. My Japanese is not that great. So there was this kind of internal roadblock, thinking, this obstacle that I had with, like, oh, is it actually possible to do it here? My time zones are going to be so different, and they are so different from a lot of my clients. Yeah. But how am I going to do that? And so it was a lot of my own struggles with, like, could I really do this? And is marketing this way going to actually work in Japan, where I'm physically at? But if it's online, what's going to get out there? So that was kind of most of the roadblocks that the internal roadblocks. So once I got that out, it was just like, just screw it, let's just do it.
And what was that, like, moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to just do it? Like, what allowed you to get through that?
That is a great question. I think I struggled with that feeling for a long time. And a lot of people say, get your own coach, get your own business coach. I mean, I had my own coach at that time, mm-hmm. but my own kind of like just personal life coach. And I was really like, you know, gung-ho about like, I can do this by myself. I don't need a business coach to help me with this. but finally, I was kind of like running around in a hamster wheel for almost half a year. And then I finally got to a point where I was like, this is not working. And I really don't know, because I was getting less and less enthusiastic. I was getting very nervous, and I was losing, you know, my own motivation, I guess. And then but I feel like the world kind of just answers you. Like when you manifest this thing, I don't know, I was online and I was on Facebook just scrolling, and then somebody popped up on my, just kind of like how Jay Shetty popped up on my social media, but a colleague or a colleague from my program, from my coaching program, was writing something about marketing she was commenting on someone else's post about marketing. And I just reached out to her and I was like, hey, like just, she was giving out free pointers and I really liked what she was saying. And so I reached out and I was like, hey, just curious. And she's like, no problem. Like, let's just talk. And then we had a conversation for 30 minutes. And I was like, I love this woman. We're definitely working together. Here's my money. Take care of it. But from there, like, I think it just really, like, she really helped just kind of point me through the right, like point me to the places that I should go. And it really helped to be able to just talk about things and to get some mentoring as well. And that really was what propelled me.
Thank you for sharing that. I know for me, it was like stubbornness. I had a coach right away, but that wasn't like ready yet because I was still figuring out what I was doing. I was stubborn to get help for a while. But I think too, taking that step back, when you're saying when you manifest something, it starts to show up without you even realizing it. But this woman showed up at the right exact time for you to, okay, this is it. You felt it. It almost sounds like, to me at least, correct me if I'm wrong, in your gut, you're like, yes, this is what I need. And this is like the person who's going to help me.
Yeah. And a lot of times, because I think with coaching, what I love about coaching, like they hold you accountable, right? Yeah. And so I'm here by myself in a little hamster wheel. I'm like, oh no, I'll do it tomorrow. It's kind of, well, I don't know what I'm doing. But with her, she's like, okay, we're meeting next week. Have this done. And then have this. And I was like, okay. And if I showed up the next week without having everything, she's like, why? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, it kind of got me out of this kind of perfectionism, because I was like, I wanted to have my website this particular way before I started my coaching with a business, a branding coach or marketing coach or business coach, right? But yeah.
That's a really good point, because a lot of times there's a lot of perfectionism or just wanting things to be a certain way, and realizing too, I've heard this time and time again, it's just like, just start, just do it, because people are really successful even if they don't have a website, or even if they don't have like the lead magnet or like all these other things that we want to look pretty or like be out there and like look good. And it's also part of like professionalism and just getting things out there. But at the same time too, it's taking action moves us along. And it sounds like this coach really helped you, and just in coaching in general, that's what it's about, the accountability piece. And I love that you brought that up. And I wanted to ask you, because I know you've had a lot of clients, but you have maybe one or two examples you could share that were success stories of after having your accountability and having your coaching really saw that transformation.
I had a client. She was a referral from someone just I was practicing with. It was actually one of my first clients, and I really kind of did not know what I was doing at that time, to be honest. I was just still practicing. I didn't even have my certificate yet. I didn't finish my program yet. But my friend reached out. She's like, hey, I have someone who's really struggling in her relationship. And I was just wondering, because you're interested in doing relationship coaching. Can you help her out? I'm like, sure. Okay. I'll take anything. I just need practice.
Right.
So this client that I had actually, she was struggling with a lot of things that really, really resonated with me, what I had experienced in my relationship, the whole overthinking, you know, her partner didn't text her back in, you know, 5 minutes, and that must have meant something, and this explosion and this whole writing an essay text kind of situation to explain yourself. And she was just really, really having a hard, hard time in her relationship and those arguments. And she obviously really, really was in love with this person, but they just, whatever they were doing, it was just not clicking. Mm-hmm. So through our time together coaching, we realized and we dug through kind of a lot of this, the issues were basically her own ability to love herself. Mm-hmm. And from there, like it was just every week I just told, okay, like these are the things that we have to do because these are the things we're discovering about what is showing up in your relationship is the reason, the what has shown up in your, how you've treated yourself in your own life. Mm-hmm. And so we practiced a lot with, like, you know, breathing techniques, journaling, a lot of these little techniques that we do to just get her into the right mindset and to kind of become more aware of mm-hmm. how she is talking to herself, what she is kind of letting herself get away with. And so letting her partner get away with treating her this way and that way. So mm-hmm. I just got in touch. We worked, I think about 3 months together. And I just randomly got in touch with her a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't talked to her after we finished. And she is super happy in a relationship right now. Same person. At that time, I was like, do you remember the first call we ever had? You were bawling your eyes out and talking about how you wanted to break up with this person because there was no way you could you could make the relationship work. And now I see pictures of her with her partner online. At that mm-hmm. time, I've never seen it before. She's like, I'm so ashamed. I'm not sure if I could put pictures of us together, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, look at that.
That's beautiful. And I love that you were able to really, it just sounds like so many boundaries you're being set, the self-love piece. Yeah. Those are so important in relationships. I'm curious because I know we talked in the beginning when I was introducing you about effective communication and just the things that you've gone through, but what you're teaching your clients too. What are your top two or three tips when it comes to effective communication, what that looks like in relationships?
Oh, that's also a really, really great question. Definitely, it's the way you talk to yourself. Is one big thing. I think a lot of times we don't realize how hurtful we are to ourselves and how, you know, we are very quick to blame ourselves for things. And so mm-hmm. being aware of how you speak to yourself and what you let yourself get away with as well, I think that's really big. Another one is definitely to listen to your partner. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of my relationship, I thought I was listening. I'm like, yes, I got it. I know what you're saying. But I didn't. It really was, as much as I wanted to go what my partner was saying to me, to go in my head, it wasn't, because it's blocked by a lot of my own triggers, a lot of my own interpretations of what she was saying. So definitely listening without judgment. Be as open as you can. And I know that's really hard for a lot of people to do, but it takes practice. And I'm still, you know, I'm still guilty of not doing it sometimes, obviously. We're all human, but it is really listening and just trying to hear what your partner says for what it is. Not, oh, I think, well, this is what she's actually saying. I think there's something underneath what she's trying to say. There's something else. There's usually not. If you just listen to your partner, what they're saying, and ask, be curious if you don't know. Instead of assuming, oh, this is probably what she means, ask, wait, is this what you mean? Because this is what I'm interpreting. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to push my agenda onto you. Let me know so I can clear it up, so I don't have to, you know, go get triggered by something. Because a lot of the times we are triggered by our own interpretations, the experiences that we've had in our lives. Mm-hmm. So those would probably be my big tips.
Those are good ones. I just remember being a therapist, marriage and family therapy in particular, because that's a huge aspect of communication, the assumptions, the judgments, all of those things underlining that we might think that the partner isn't saying, but it's just really being able to hear them out, like listening to understand is what I'm hearing you say too, of when people are speaking. And I'm curious because I know unclear expectations are a big issue in relationships. Could you speak more to that?
Oh, of course. I had a lot of unspoken expectations in my relationship, which I now realize was what had started the turmoil in my relationship. Was a lot of times I think we're not thrown, but we get into relationships thinking, oh, it's so beautiful. There's so much passion. I just love this person. It's great. It's perfect. You don't realize that we all have our own expectations of what a good relationship or healthy and happy relationship looks like. But our partners probably don't have that same thought. And a lot of times what happens is, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, a relationship should look like this, this, that. And my partner is like, well, my ideal relationship is like this, this, that. If you don't talk about it, then you're going to bash heads eventually. At the beginning of my relationship, I was thinking, you know, I want, because I was working and my partner had just graduated from her dental school. So she was just starting out and I was like, well, I have an established career. So I'm going to be the working person and I expect to come home with a cooked meal every once in a while. And when she didn't do that, I was like, oh, what are you doing? Like, you know, no. And I would always, and there's the danger of, you know, passive aggression. I would never just say like, hey, do you mind, like, okay, I'm going to be coming home really late. It would be really nice. Like, I wouldn't say it. And I just come home and there's no food. And I'm like, and you know, so definitely like, we talked it out eventually. And then she told me like, I don't really want to cook. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's also definitely the expectation that it has to be, or the negotiation and media in the middle ground. But yeah, so it really is an important point to just, and it's not wrong. You know, it's okay to want these things, but definitely talk about it. You know, your partner is not a mind reader. And my partner used to get angry at me all the time. She's like, I can't read your mind. I don't know what you want. Please tell me. And I'm like, what do you mean? You should know. You're my partner. That's also another expectation.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And it goes back to just the communication. You're communicating, you're really understanding the expectations won't be met or be discussed because this is where I'm coming from. This is where you're coming from. And how do we find that common ground of understanding? And that's what I love, that you bridge that for your clients as well, like that they're coming to you and needing those things to really understand their partner and being able to vocalize that. Because like you said, nobody is a mind reader. We cannot read minds. We maybe in the beginning think, but once we like start working on ourselves and that, like the self-doubt of like, well, wait a minute, this is what I thought was supposed to happen and it's not. And something like then we might internalize whatever's going on, but being able to take a step back and just having somebody like you really helping them navigate that, I think is so important. I mean, relationships are the bulk of everything.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something that you mentioned kind of, it reminded me of something else was the fact that a lot of times we are a little, at the beginning of relationships, everyone wants to look really good. We want to be like, oh, you know, I'm super flexible. I'm totally open to everything at you. You know, we want to sell ourselves to our partners as this person. Right. And a lot of times, I mean, I understand, but it is very, very dangerous because our partner gets, you know, our partners get this idea of who we are. But when, you know, after a couple of months go by or maybe even a year, and you show up as, and you start to kind of like become who you really are. If you started off with like, oh, anything you do is fine, and you don't even go to the bathroom, you're just this goddess, right? Or you know, you don't ever think about oh, this person has their own like issues, and oh my god, now it's happening. So I think that really is important to really really realize who you are, and to not be scared to show that to the most important person, right? That you to your partner from the beginning. I know we can fluff it up a little bit, but not too much.
Right? Not when you're a completely different person. But yeah. I love what you said and how you really explain that too, because you know, just a personal story. When I like was dating a few years ago, I was like that. I was like, okay, this is me. And like it never really got that far of me being able to really be myself. And I made it so intentional like a little over a year ago before I met my partner now, but like I was very intentional of this is who I'm going to be and this is me and 100%. But I think a lot of times when there's like self-doubt or perfectionism or anything that's like creeping within, that's a great opportunity to really date yourself first so you know yourself. And then you can show up powerfully for your significant other because you're being you, like 100% you. And of course, in the beginning, you know, you want to look nice and all that stuff. And then they eventually start to see all the other stuff. But I mean, I think it goes back to just being authentic and being yourself. And that's what I'm hearing from you too, of just really helping your clients along that journey of understanding who we are as individuals is incredible. And the person, the partner, significant other who is going to love us is going to appreciate that because that's us, because you can't hide that forever. I mean, you can't have this facade. Maybe some people do, but it's not authentic to who we are. So I think it's just an important piece to really echo what you're saying, because I think that is so significant of just really being true to ourselves, because that's going to make us happier in the long run too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a really scary thing, actually, for I mean, because personally as well, like I started this journey not knowing who I was. And I was single for 5 years before I met my current partner. And I was quote unquote dating myself, but not really. Because I didn't want to look at those, you know, those parts of myself that I thought were shameful or were bad. And I labeled myself like, this is not good, this is good, this is not good. You should show this to people. You don't want to show this to people. Right. And it's the relationship that you have with yourself, right? And to have the courage to be like, you know what, I have this part of me, not a big fan of it, but it is still part of me, and it's okay. And it's a validation, the self-validation. It's not external, because what happened in my previous relationship was I was validated as somebody who I was not. And I thought, okay, this partner expects me to be like this, and I'll do it. And because I get praised and I get, you know, a lot of love if I show up this way. And I tried to like hide all the bad things, or the quote unquote bad things that I thought about myself. And that didn't work, because I mean, eventually I became so exhausted about being, you know, not authentic who I was, but I was so scared. And it really is just realizing it's okay. We're human. We all have parts that we would like to change, and you can change anytime. You just got to choose to change, and it's fine. And you know, that's what I hope with my clients with, is just realizing you're okay the way you are. If there's something that you want to change, all right, let's do it together. And we can take your time. There's no deadline.
Yeah, because I think we're always evolving and growing too. And that's part of change. And, you know, you touch on something too, like just when people say they're dating themselves, but not really like working on themselves. And I loved what you said about like the shame piece, because I think what triggered my thought was, is learning to love those flaws, because we all have them. Nobody is perfect. And I've probably said this a million times by now, but it's nobody is perfect. If there are, let me meet them. Yeah. But like, because they don't exist. Nobody is perfect. We all have something we've gone through that has shifted us in some way, some form or fashion, but really recognizing that those flaws is what makes us who we are today. We learn from those things that have happened in our past to help us grow. And that's what I'm hearing too from you, just all the experiences you've had. You've been able to have a different lens now to really help those individuals through their relationships.
Yeah. And I think that the shame part, the self-shame, it really is very, very big in the LGBT community. Yeah. There's a lot of shame that we have about being who we are, because, you know, I know society is, you know, culture and society is changing, it's evolving, but it's still not to the point of, you know, what we'd like it to be. And there are still a lot of places that, you know, being LGBT is not acceptable. So like, even in Japan, they're really chill about it in a way. Nobody talks about it. They'll leave you alone, but you don't, nobody wants to say anything. It's still quite a closeted area. Like you won't have, you know, physical alterations and anything, I've met a few here who are just, there's so much shame, and it really is the courage and that is a really, really big part that you have to heal within yourself before you go into relationship. Otherwise, you're looking for that other person to validate and to make you not feel ashamed of who you are. And that doesn't work, because the moment that person doesn't know what you need. Only you know what you need. So yeah, that's a really big part, I think.
And I am so glad that you are sharing that and being so vulnerable and transparent, because I think it's, like I said, it's not talked about enough, and just especially within the relationships too, but having somebody who has been through it, has experienced it, every experience is different, but still being able to be a voice for it to echo. And that's why I'm so happy you're on here today as well. of course. And I'm curious, through your journey of starting your coaching business, what has been maybe two or three tips that you wish you would have known when you had started your coaching business that you know now?
Definitely get a coach, business coach, right? Be kind to yourself, and don't think that you've got your crap together. The truth is, we're all starting. You know, some people have more experience than others in starting, business. I had no business background. I had no idea what I was doing. If you don't know what you're doing, get someone to teach you. Get someone, go reach out. Don't be shy. It's okay. And I felt a lot of, you know, at that time, I was very embarrassed. And I was like, I'm going to start a business. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to let people know. No, it's okay. Just go out there, ask, and just the more you're out there, the more you ask, the more you're going to be surprised at how many people are willing to help you. Yeah. Get a business coach. Don't be scared to ask and just go for it. We talked about it already, but stop waiting and stop wasting time thinking about, like, you know, it has to look this particular way. I have to have this before I do that. Just go, because the longer you wait, the longer whoever you can help is waiting for you to show up, and they are there. And just don't get stuck in your own mind, because that's where I was for a long time. There was a lot of fear and, oh my God, but what if I put myself out there and no one's going to reach out? First, you got to put yourself out there.
Right.
Right? If you're hiding behind, then, you know, it's the same as, you know, being in a closet. If you're going to stay in the closet the whole time, you're not going to find the person that you want to be with.
Yeah.
You're not going to find who you are. You won't find who you are if you're stuck in the closet the whole time. Get out there. Be fearless. It's okay. There's a lot. The world is full of really, really wonderful people who will help you and who will love you for who you are. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate those three tips. I think those were phenomenal and very necessary to remember too, because I think when we do start, there's a lot of different thoughts that are flowing through our head of, okay, well, when do I start? Where do I start? Or just having the compassion and the kindness to ourselves and getting people to help, because I know that was one of my struggles in the beginning too. And still sometimes it creeps in.
Yeah,
but it's really recognizing too that people are in your corner. It's just finding the right people. I've been so enjoying this conversation, Jen, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
All right.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
My hero is my mom. My mother is definitely my hero. We had a really weird relationship. And she has always been the pillar in my life, despite my weird relationship with her. I came out to her and there was this crazy thing that happened, but she was my mother's a very, very traditional woman, and so she's, you know, traditional Chinese thinking. What are you talking about? What is this LGBT thing that you're talking about? And she really struggled with it, but she came around, we talked about it, we worked it out, and she continues to be really, really supportive of my lifestyle and who I am. And she, yeah, definitely my hero.
Well, I'm so glad. You sounds like an amazing mom. She came around and is really supportive, and that's what it's about. And what motivates you to work smarter?
Thinking about what my clients need is really definitely what motivates me. Because I mean, if I don't think about what my clients need, what my clients want, what they are struggling with, then I'm definitely, I can be very lazy.
Well, it's good that you know what's going on with them then.
Yeah.
So if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this was I've been thinking about this question for a while, actually. If I were a superhero, my superpower, I would love to be able to heal. Not myself. I would love to, like, just, you know, I don't know, healing powers. And it, you know, when I was a kid, flying would be great, but now I'm like, you know, we can fly. We can, I live in Japan. We've got the bullet train. It goes quick enough.
The closest thing.
Yeah. Well, it's good enough. Right. But I would really love to heal and heal cuts and bruises and stuff, but also probably heal, you know, wounds that we have deep in ourselves. I would love to be able to do that. I think a lot of people walk around with a lot of hurt in their lives. So, ta-da, you're fine.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I think that would be a really important one too.
What would your superhero power be? I'm curious.
Oh, no one's asked me. I I would love to teleport. I mean, it's a popular answer on here, but it's mostly so I could like just be somewhere immediately. So like whether it's see my family because they don't live all close by, all different states. And also I could just like go anywhere in the world I wanted because I have my long bucket list of places I want to go still. So that would be it. And I don't have to wait in lines for the airport.
Oh, that is true.
So there would be that, you know, and then I could be like having lunch somewhere in the mountains next day or moment, you know. It would just work. Yeah.
Oh, nice too.
Or I would just be able to grant everybody else's powers too.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have said that before, but because I'm like, I wish I could grant all of these, but like a genie.
Oh, that would be cool.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Yeah. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Oh my goodness. I think going on dates was pretty daring for me.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm in Japan and there's not, it's not like, you know, booming with people that I can meet. Mm-hmm. At first, I was really, really against online dating. And I'm a very traditional person. I'm like, it has to be somebody that I know, or it has to be a referral from somebody. It's a friend of a friend, right? Otherwise, I don't know. What if they're psycho killers? But basically, I'm stuck in this little island where there's like really no way to meet people. So it was all, everybody meets people online. So I was like, okay, I got to do it now. And so I, you know, going on dates with the first date that I went on, a person that I met online, I was terrified. I was calling like all my friends, like, I'm going on this date at this time with this person. If I don't come back. the date was fine. She was very, very nice. It was just me waiting for it at all. But it was really awkward. And the whole time I was just thinking, is this what it's supposed to be like? Like, you sounded so much more exciting. I think we both sounded a lot more exciting when we were online. But now that we're sitting down in front of each other, all right, thanks, bye. And that was definitely the biggest, the biggest dare I've ever done before in my life.
That is very daring. I have to ask though, did you meet your partner online?
I did. but it was, by that time I had already met a couple of people and I was like, okay, you know, they're not that bad. It's just this idea I had.
Yeah.
But my partner was quite aggressive and she was the first really aggressive one to me. Like she was the one who would message me a lot and would kind of set up times to like call each other. I'm like, whoa, okay, I've never really had this. In my mind, I was more like the quote-unquote dominant one. So when she was like, when can we meet? And I was like, okay. So, you know, we did meet earlier than we were planning to. I did end up setting up a date because we are long distance. And she was like, oh, by the way, I'm going to be free like a week earlier. I'm going to drop in and come and see you. And I'm like, wait. But you know, that was that. Thankfully, though, like we started a week earlier than we were supposed to.
See, it all worked out. I mean, online dating can be scary, but that's how I met my boyfriend. You know, like sometimes it works out, so I'm glad it did.
Yes.
Now you can help your clients too. Be more open to it.
Yes, exactly.
I think we go through certain experiences so we can help others. You know.
Yes. I would say, you know what? Of course, you want to be safe, right? You want to be careful, but definitely don't hold out on, you know, potential opportunities. I think the reason why I was able to kind of give my relationship a chance was because one of my closest friends, very, very, very careful woman, met her husband online. And when she told me, she's like, I'm trying online dating. I was like, oh my God, if you're doing it, I can do it.
It's courage, you know?
It really is.
Because you never know, but I'm so glad it did work out. And what is the phone app that you use the most?
The phone app? Mm-hmm. Instagram. Yeah, definitely. It's a habit. I love watching the videos, the reels. Oh my God. They're kind of like my addiction right now. Before I go to bed, I'm just going to look at it for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And then after an hour, I'm like, I can't stop. And my partner's like, let me take the phone away from you. I go to bed. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, it's rough. I mean, some of them are just so funny.
It is. And I'm like, these people are geniuses.
They can be. They definitely can be. Mm-hmm, and what is the last book that you've listened to or read?
The last book I read, Love Languages, The Five Love Languages. It's by my bedside right now. I've read it a couple of times, and I love rereading books because, you know, you get a total different sense. You're a totally different person when you go back to read it. So whenever I go back and I read an old book, I'm like, huh, I did not pick this part up. And I highlight my books. Oh my God, I know. But I highlight my books and going back, and I'm like, oh, why did I highlight that? And I'm like, oh wait, there's another part that I want to highlight. And my books are basically like all yellow by the time I'm done. So.
But it's also that refresher too. And we might be in different phases of life when we are rereading it. I love to reread, and I know a lot of other people do too. And I think it's just, as we evolve, we're still like learning. It might be the same information, but we're just absorbing it different. Just like with what we were talking about earlier, expectations, like being able to vocalize those and hear those, and like you're hearing it in a different way sometimes. And it's kind of correlates to what this we're talking about now. So if you were to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, style, what animal would you be?
Oh, that's a really nice question. I know what animal I would like to be. Mm-hmm. But what animal I am most like? Just a second. Oh, it's supposed to be a rapid fire question, right? The first animal that comes to mind, I guess I'm just gonna answer the animal I want to be, and I hope that this is where I strive to be. I love hippos. I think I would be a hippo, only because hippos get a bad rep for, like, you know, they're so big and clunky and they don't really do anything. But they're really dangerous animals. I think hippos are like the most dangerous land animal there is. So my whole thing that I really try to live by is don't judge a book by its cover. You know, it's, I might be chunky and clunky and whatever, but, you know, deep down inside, there's a lot more. I think it's really gotta get to know one and before you can judge it, I guess.
I love that perspective. I haven't heard hippo before, so I like that.
It's not really an elegant animal. A lot of people are like, why do you like hippos? I'm like, because they're super cute, first of all. But
I mean, they're adorable.
But I think it really is that I just love the fact that there's such a gap between what people perceive and what they really are like. So everyone is like that, right? Everyone is not what you see.
I like the depth of that. So if you have a day off, what is your favorite way to spend that day off?
Lounging with my partner. Oh gosh, I'm not really, this is kind of a new thing for me. I'm quite a busybody. I don't really relax a lot. And my partner is the complete opposite. She's always kind of just on the sofa. The sofa's right there, so that's okay. she's always like just kind of laid out there. And I always, when I'm working, I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I would love to be that relaxed. And we've been trying. I'm trying to learn to just kind of not do anything and just kind of flop. So that is recently what I really, really enjoy doing. Kind of just taking it easy, not doing much. I don't have anything planned. We don't have anything planned. Maybe we have like a movie that's like playing somewhere, like just, we can listen to it, but we're just kind of like, huh.
Yes. I think that's super important. I mean, it took me a while to learn that one, but like just being able to like relax, especially when we're go, 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 or in that culture, society, how it doesn't stop and we have to stop sometimes. It's important.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely self-care. That's definitely a big self-care point for me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're starting to.
Yeah.
And what's something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
What is something that, I think definitely what coaching is. A lot of people, I think, don't really know what coaching is. So coaching is not the same as therapy. I think that's a big one that a lot of people who are coming into coaching or hearing coaching for the first time have absolutely no idea. And if you try to explain to them, a lot of times it is quite common to say, isn't that what therapists do? Like, no, there's it's quite similar, yes, but there are very, very different. There's definitely differences. So I think that would be the big thing.
That's an important thing. Differentiation between the two. Yes. And Jen, where can people find you, hire you? We're going to link everything below in the description, but if you could let us know too.
Oh, thank you so much. My website at chowcoaching.com and Instagram. I have an Instagram as well at chow_coaching, chow, C-H-O-W, like dog chow and puppy chow and things like that. Definitely my website and my Instagram is where I'm usually on the most.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for coming on and just sharing your vulnerability, being so transparent of your journey, but how you're really helping so many individuals within their relationships, especially the LGBTQ community. I think it's really important to highlight and just recognizing too that everybody's relationships matter and to being able to start with a relationship with ourselves first and moving into it with our partners. But thank you again for coming on today and sharing.
Thank you so much for the time. I really had fun. Thank you so much.
I did as well. Thank you so much. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Jen? I'm sure she would love to see that comment. So make sure you leave it and we'll see you on the next video.